With a heart to reach all of Iowa and every nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ, KLM International is pleased to present this message. Pastors Kenny and Nija Linhart of the Cathedral have traveled all over the world proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, and we would like to thank our friends and partners for making this message available to you at no charge. If you would like to learn more about KLM International or its many ministries, including the Cathedral, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Once again, that's klmintl.com. And now, prepare to receive from God's Word.
Mark chapter 11, and let's look at verse 12. Then the next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing at a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but the leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And the disciples heard him say it. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and he would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And he taught them, he said, "It is written, 'For my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers.'" Let's go to verse 20. "In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from its roots. And Peter remembered and said to Jesus, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed is withered.'" Verse 22. "Have faith in God." Some translations say, "Have the faith of God." Jesus answered, "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you have received it, and it will be yours." Amen. Amen. Jesus said, have the God kind of faith, or have faith in God, and having the God kind of faith is having faith in the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
You know, there's something here that we need to unlock in the body of Christ. And I think that we've just gone far enough in the body of Christ and watered down the message to the point that we're not acting like the body of Christ. We're acting like people who are trying to get into the body of Christ. Amen? Come on now. We're not acting like the body of Christ. And I'm not talking about this church in particular. I'm talking about the church overall. We are acting like a people that are trying to get into the body of Christ. Once you've entered into the body of Christ, then your human spirit is made new by the Spirit of God. Am I correct?
Yes.
And then you receive the Holy Ghost. And you can receive the baptism, the overflowing of the Holy Ghost. And then out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. This Jesus spoke of those who would receive the Holy Spirit. Listen, if you've been made one with God in spirit, as John chapter 17, Jesus said, "I want to be in them, Father, just like you are in me and I am in you, so they may be one, so that the world will know that you have sent me." Amen? So we're one with the Father. In the book of Ephesians, it says that when Jesus was raised, we were raised with him and seated in heavenly realms far above all powers and principalities. Now, how many of you in here have been born again? Can I see your hand? Praise the Lord. You've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Can I see your hand? If you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you have been made one with him. Your old spirit, your old nature is gone, and you have a new nature within you. Praise the Lord. Now you have to make the deciding factor is yours. You have to make the decision whether you're going to follow the compass of the Holy Spirit that will lead you into the paths of righteousness and right things, or you're going to follow maybe an intellect that is unrenewed with the Word of God. You make that decision. So a lot of people are born again, but they don't know it. A lot of people are born again, and they're still trying to get God's approval. They're still trying to get into the kingdom of God. And Jesus is speaking to his disciples here, and he said, listen, if you have the God kind of faith, or you have faith in God, when you pray and you do not doubt in your heart, not your head, but your heart, then you'll have the things that you pray. Isn't that what he said? When you believe in your inner man, come on. But just catch up if you haven't been here. If you believe in your inner man, see, because faith is a gift from God. Faith comes from revelation. And the revelation and faith come from where, somebody? From His Word. Revelation comes from the Word of God. Faith comes from the Word of God. And once you've received faith, you have an image, a picture on the inside of you of what God has created in you and for you. You're not trying to get to heaven. You're already there in spirit. The only thing that has to catch up is your body. Amen? So Mark chapter 11 verse 24 says, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." When you ask and you don't know or don't believe whether what you're asking is of God, whether God approves of it, you can't be in faith. I remember one time we were having a meeting just right here in Des Moines, and a little old lady, you could tell she was a prayer warrior. You could tell that she had been in the presence of God for a long periods of time. You know, she had a little light above her. But at the end of the meeting, she came up and asked me if I would pray that God would save her. Here she'd been serving God all of her life. She'd been praying to God, yielding to God, but didn't know whether or not she had been saved. And the Bible says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. So there's a two-part equation there. You got to believe in your heart. And that comes as a gift from God. The Bible says, how can they believe in the one they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they're sent? So once the message goes out, see, it goes into the fertile soil of a man or a woman. It goes into their spirit, the ovum of a human spirit. And the seed of the incorruptible Word of God creates the life of God. Now, they can reject it, they can miscarry it, they can abort it. But if they hold on to that thing and they confess Jesus as Lord, they open up the womb of their spirit and they confess Jesus as Lord, then a new birth happens. When that seed hits that ovum, when the Word of God hits the spirit of a man, then an image is created on the inside of who Christ died so they could be. Whether or not they'll receive that is up to them. Whether or not they'll yield to that is up to that person. So listen, I want you to get this morning because this was the foundation we're building on. Faith is not an act of your will. Faith does not exist in your mind. Faith exists in your spirit. It is a spiritual, it's a spiritual materiality. It's the substance of your spirit. It's not the substance of your intellect. It's of your inner man. It's not your head. It's of your heart. It's not of your soul. It is of your spirit. That's why you have to renew your mind with the washing of God's Word, so that you can get your mind to catch up with the revelation that you've received from the Word or the preaching of the Word. And once your mind will at least, listen, it doesn't always have to agree, it just has to yield. Am I helping anybody? Am I preaching too hard, too fast? Do I need to slow down? Do I need to do the ABCs? Okay, praise the Lord. Listen, once that truth is inside of you, then you just have to get your mind not to fight it and believe what God has given you through revelation, through or by His Word. Amen? Is this good preaching?
Yes, sir.
You have to transform your mind with the renewing of God's Word. You have to take every thought captive according to Christ, the anointing that is within you. And when you do, see, you don't have to think everything that goes across your mind. You cause your mind to get in line with the truth of God's Word. At least cause it not to fight God's Word and allow it to be neutral so the truth that is in your spirit can pass through your mind and come out your mouth and create as God creates. Amen. Now, how many of you have ever heard the scripture that you're a son of God? If you're born of God, you're a child of God. Amen. You're a joint heir with Jesus. You're a co-heir with Christ. And if you're an heir, then what does that mean? If you're an heir, what does that mean, somebody? You have inherited something. You don't have to die to receive your inheritance here on earth. And you don't have, somebody else dies. You don't have to die to receive your inheritance that God has purchased for you. It's available for you right now. And the picture on the inside says that's true. The image, the visionary part of who you are, sees that already. The trick is to get everything else to line up with it. Your head and your body and your tongue. And begin to act as if what God said is true is. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Amen. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, I think the church is full of a bunch of mamby-pamby Christians. Wanting milquetoast sermons. Wanting baby food instead of meat. And if we're going to transform this city, transform this state, transform the world, then we're going to have to grab a hold of the Word of God. Amen. And I'm going to preach it whether these seats are empty or whether they're full. Because the truth is the truth. Is it what's preached in most pulpits? No, most people can't handle it. Just like a baby cannot handle meat. You give a baby meat, it's going to spit it up. It's going to cause digestive problems. But I'm believing in this house that there's an anointing for you to receive meat even if you don't have molars. Can you say amen? Amen. All right, Hebrews chapter 1 says this. Well, Pastor, you're in rare form. No, I'm back to where I was. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the confidence of what we hope for, the assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Now, faith is, listen, faith is the title deed to the things that God has prepared for you. Faith is a confident assurance that what God has prepared for you is yours. The Bible says here in 11:6 that without faith it's impossible to please God. And it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, that we are saved by grace through faith. So even though God wants to give you something, He's limited by your faith. Come on. Yeah. Let me give you a natural example. If you don't know whether your natural daddy is going to give you something or not, then you could go ask and not know whether or not you're going to receive. And many times if you don't know if your natural daddy is going to give you something, you're not even going to ask. Am I right? But how many of you know when your daddy said he would and you knew he already had it and he had a smile on his face, you were quick to ask? We need to look at God our Father that way. He's not lacking anything. The Word of God says the silver and the gold, they're His. The cattle on 1,000 hills are His. The earth and everything in it belong to Him. Now hold on. You're a child of God and you have an inheritance. You don't die to get your inheritance. He dies, He can give it to you. How did He die? When God became a man and dwelt among us, God incarnate, when Jesus hung on the cross and experienced death for us in a physical form, so that you could get the inheritance. You are the seed of Abraham, so you can tap into the promise before the law. And you are a child of the living God, so that you can tap into the inheritance that's for you in heavenly realms. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. That word see in the Greek is P-L-E-P-O. GK, you try it if you want to. It's plepo. And it means to see or discern with the physical eye. So now when you read that scripture, it says now faith is the assurance. It's the title deed to the thing that we are expectant or in hope for. And it's the evidence of it. And you can't verify it by what you see with the natural eye. So faith, as it says in the Word of God, the God kind of faith calls those things that are not as though they are. But there is a seeing involved because you have to see it through revelation before your inner man will line up with it. Come on. Mm-hmm. Has anybody ever saw themselves as a success Has anybody ever saw, have you ever looked inside and in prayer and you've seen yourself in a better place than you are today? Have you seen yourself walking in more health than you are today? Have you seen yourself with a bank account full that you could give to missionaries and give to traveling ministers and build churches, give away cars, things like that to people who are in need? If you've ever seen that, then you've not seen it with the natural mind. You've seen it through the eye of the Spirit. And in Ephesians chapter 1, the Word of God says this, I pray that He may give you a breath of His Spirit so that you may see the hope to what He's called you, the inheritance that are for the saints, and the power that is available to them. See, it's a spiritual thing. It takes the pneuma, the very breath out of the nostrils of God, into your human spirit so that you can see the revelation of what God has created and destined for you. And you get that thing on the inside and you cultivate it and you work it and you pray around it and you back it up with the Scripture, and then you start renewing your mind with the Scripture, and suddenly it becomes the abundance of your heart, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does what? It speaks as if it already is. You don't see it with your natural mind. You see it through the eyes of the Spirit. You see it with your inner man. And that inner man is, what you see in the inner man is more important than anything you can see, taste, and touch right now, because God said it would be. Yeah. Amen? I'm not talking about pulling things out of your spiritual hiney. I'm talking about pulling things out of the Word of God. I'm not talking about you believing God for a brand new Mercedes when you can't even take care of the Ford Fiesta God gave you 10 years ago. I'm talking about finding something in the Word of God and letting the revelation come alive inside of you, and then you changing your life to act accordingly as if it already is yours, because it is. Praise the Lord. And if you want to do this thing and suffer all the way to heaven and just go and barely get along street down Grumble Alley, you go ahead and find yourself another church, because we're not going to be that way here. Amen. We have to be, as it says in the book of Ephesians, a display window of God's blessings for the world to see. My goodness, what's sad is the church needs to see it now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now go to Hebrews chapter 11. Are you there still? And we're going to jump down to, I need to catch up with you. Praise the Lord. You know, I think one of the greatest tragedies in the world today is the church doesn't believe the Word of God is true. They think it's some kind of book that's just there to help us along, when this is the revelation from heaven of what God has designed, destined, and created for you. Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to follow along with me in verse 3. And I'm going to read what I read the other day. You follow along, and I'm going to read certain words. By faith, we understand the universe was formed. If you're not religious, in your Bible, underline, understand. By faith, Abel brought a better sacrifice. Somebody underline the word brought. By faith, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, walked with God. Underline the word walked. By faith, Noah built the ark. Underline the word built. By faith, Abraham obeyed and went. Underline the two words, obeyed and went. By faith, when Jacob was dying, worshipped God. Underline the word worshipped. By faith, Joseph prophesied about the exodus from Egypt and gave instructions about his body. Underline the word prophesied and the word gave. By faith, Moses' parents hid. Underline the word hid. By faith, Moses left Egypt. Underline the word left. By faith, the people of Israel passed through the Red Sea. Underline the word passed. By faith, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel, and the prophets conquered, underline the word conquered, kingdoms, administered justice, underline the word justice, gained what it promised, underline the word gained, shut the mouths of lions, underline the word shut, quenched the fiery fury of the flames, escape the edge of the sword, underline the word quenched and escaped. Turn their wickedness to strength, underline the word turned. Became powerful in battle, underline the word became. Routed foreign armies, underline the word routed. Received back their dead and raised them to life, underline the word received and raised. Let me read those words to you. By faith, understand, brought, walked, worshipped, hid, left, passed, conquered, administered, gained, shut, escaped, turned, became, routed, received, and raised. Do you notice anything? They're all action words. See, first, the first ingredient for faith is you have to see. That's where faith comes from. It's initiated or it's activated. Otherwise, it's natural human faith. And you can't do anything with natural human faith but cause you to persist. Calls you to continue to go when you don't feel like it. That's the only thing that you can do with natural human faith. But with spiritual faith, with a God kind of faith, you see in your inner man. And if you're in the house this morning, if you never have seen the things that God has prepared for you, then you haven't spent time with the Father. And in other words, when you pray, you're just talking at God. You're not listening. In other words, your prayer time is not communication, because communication is a two-way street. Your communication is you're telling Him what you need and what you want, but you're not listening. Because when God speaks, He usually doesn't use English words. He usually speaks in a way that you see. Have you heard the old saying, a picture is worth a thousand words? When God shows, He says to Abraham, look at the stars in the sky. Look at the sand on the seashore. He says, now turn around and look as far as you can see. He wasn't talking, is the land that I'll give you. He wasn't even talking about the natural mind. He was talking about a natural example that would, because he didn't have the word yet, it would create inside of him the spiritual picture of him being the father of many nations. See, the word that God said to Abraham when He said to look is just like the Logos, the word that you read. It creates in you a spiritual picture of who you are to be. Praise the Lord. The God kind of faith is always joined and activated by an action. Just look at the excerpts from Hebrew 11 where we just underlined, and you're going to see that every single one of those words speak of doing. If you're doing just because you think it's the right thing to do, it will not activate faith. But if you're doing because you have the revelation of God's Word inside of your heart and it begins to stimulate and activate and motivate you into doing something that reason says will not produce the end result that you see, now you're walking by faith. You know, you never heard of anybody say, I'm believing by faith. I'm walking by faith. I'm speaking by faith. And you know what's funny? Every time I do a newsletter, every time I update something on our website or I send out a tweet, my computer always corrects it when I say, I'm walking by faith. I'm talking by faith. Even the computer can't recognize it because it's so unfamiliar to the way we think and we speak. I have to have that image on the inside, and so do you. Without that image, I'm just going to live out my existence here on the earth, which is just a mist, the Word of God says in the book of James. I'm going to live it out, and I'm going to produce nothing eternal. And when I'm gone, all my works will be gone. But if I begin to walk in the eternity and the kingdom of God that He has given me, praise the Lord. James chapter 2, would you turn there, please? Everybody say seeing and doing. Hallelujah, thine the glory. James chapter 2. Amen. Verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food, and if one of you says to them, go in peace and keep warm and well fed, but does, everybody say does, nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Everybody say dead. And it goes on to say that it's like the body without the spirit. This is what I want you to comprehend from this section of Scripture this morning. You can believe that God wants good things for you. But until you cause your faith to become complete. Because your faith with the belief alone is not complete. If I were, and I'm not going to do it, but if I were to suddenly just take a sword and whack off my arm, my body is not complete. I could pick the bloody stump off of the platform here, and I could hold it in my arm, but I am not complete. I could even go and have it Frankenstein kind of sewed on. But if I can't move it, if I can't do things with it, I'm not complete. And your faith has to have the birth, the seeing in your spirit for it to begin to exist. Just like the arm laying there on the ground. It exists, but it's of no value to me. Even if I put it back on my arm or my body, and if I can't move it, if I can't do things with it without thinking consciously about it, then that arm is not complete. It has no value. As a matter of fact, an arm that won't move like an arm, it's not of value. It actually becomes a detriment. It becomes a weight that I have to carry. Come on. And your faith, talking about spiritual faith here, what you see inside your spirit of who God created you to be is just as dead as that arm is laying there, separated from the body, without an action that agrees with what God has shown you. Come on. So you can believe and pray all you want, but your faith will be ineffective and useless, just like the body without the spirit is dead. The body still exists, but it has no authority on the earth without a human spirit. Come on. You can believe and you can pray all you want, but until you start acting like what you're praying and what you're seeing is real, your faith is useless, the Word of God says, without effect. And that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Don't confuse those two. Your faith is of great value. But so is a check for $1 million. But if you never cash it, it doesn't have any true value in your life. And so what I'm trying to say is that God expects you to act like His child, to act like a co-heir with Jesus, to act like the Word of God is true, to line up the truth that's within your spirit so you can begin seeing and doing, causing effect in the world around you. And my goodness, if we can't even get our bills paid by faith in the kingdom of God, we're in some deep trouble. See, I don't know about you, but Jesus is not just my Savior, He's my Lord. He's my sanctifier. In other words, He's the one that set me apart. Huh? Come on. He's my righteousness. He's the one that causes me to become righteous. He's my protector. In other words, I don't have to worry about protecting myself because He's protecting me. He's my Lord, for goodness sake. He's going to watch out for me. Praise the Lord. He's got angels on the right, angels on the left. The glory of the Lord is my rear guard. His favor goes before me. I got Him on the inside. Whom shall I fear? No one. Yeah. He's my protector. He is my healer. Come on. He is my healer. For on the cross He bore His sins in my body so I could die to sin and live for righteousness. And by His wounds I have been healed. Psalm says He sent His word forth and He healed them. He's my healer. Yeah. Now listen, I'm still going to go to a doctor, but doctors can't heal you. All they can do is get your body in line so the body will start to heal itself and God will cause it to come about in your life completely and wholly. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
He's not only my healer, He is my provider. And listen, your faith is, your salvation isn't complete until you begin to see that He is your provider. And he'll provide for, the Bible says that my God shall meet all of your needs according to his riches and glory. The word of God says if you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, then all these things will be added to you. Homes and family and food and substance, the things that the heathen toil after and they labor after. Listen, if God isn't your provider, then he's not being to you, he's not your full Lord. He's Lord minus this piece. God takes care of everything except for this piece. I got to take care of that fool. The Word of God says he'll take care of it. That doesn't mean that you don't work. The Bible says we work to give to those who don't have. Amen. James chapter 2 verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds and I will show you my faith by deeds. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. But are they going to heaven? Heaven's no. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions were working together. And his faith made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You're called God's son. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone, because faith alone is dead. Your believing alone is dead. It still exists. It has the effect in this world as if you were dead. Now, don't get me wrong. If you've been praying for certain things, keep praying. Because that's necessary for your faith to be initiated. But you have to complete it and then start acting as if it's true. And I don't know about you. Some days I do have to put it on. At 6:30 in the morning. Some days I got to put on the attitude. Some days I got to get up and I got to say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Body, you're not going to tell me how to act. I'm going to tell you how you're to act. Because you're to serve me. Sometimes you got to put it on. And there's nothing wrong with that. Because that is where faith is made complete. If you only act like what you feel, your whole life is going to go to hell. You may not, but your life will. Come on, you know it. If you act how you feel and you think everything that passes your mind, you're going to be an utter mess and you're going to end up on Skid Row. Funny thing is people will change their behavior in this world according to what they receive. There are people that will get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and work 10-hour days just so they can pay their bills, but they won't get up and go to church. They'll control themselves during a 40-hour work period, but as soon as that clock is gone, they no longer have a governor in their life. They no longer have anything restricting what they do in their life, and they throw off, the Bible says, inhibition. They throw off that holding themselves back and self-constraint, and then they live like hell, and they'll never have anything in their life. Now you, the church, we're to govern our lives according to our Lord and His Word. We're to restrict our lives according to the revelation that we have. And I know the greatest need that you have is revelation. Once you see, now what do I do with it? You do as far as you can see. Somebody say that. Do as far as I can see. Do as far as I can see. Not with your natural mind, with your spirit. Through the eyes of your understanding, it's called in the scripture. When you see yourself doing it, you do as far as you can see. Not with your natural eye, but with the eyes of your spirit. Well, everybody's going to think I'm crazy. Yeah, they thought Noah was crazy too. They thought Joshua was crazy. They thought David was crazy. Jesus' own brothers thought he was crazy. But they had this thing that they saw inside of their spirit. Jesus said it this way: I only say what I hear the Father say, and I only do what I see the Father do. You know what he was saying? I'm saying words my Father says, and I'm acting like my Father acts. And that's exactly what God's children are supposed to do. Instead, they get their head full of the newspaper and they turn on Channel 8 and they see what CBS has to say, and they conduct their lives according to those things as if they're more true than the fact of God's Word. Am I helping anybody this morning? I'm not mad at you. I'm trying to help you. I'm giving you some meat that you may have to chew on all week, but that's all right. Praise the Lord. If you're tired of getting pushed around by the world system, then you need this word. If you're tired of Satan dictating your life, attacking you time and time again, and you never coming out or over, if you're never breaking through, then you need this word. If you want to go to your grave and your spirit going to heaven and God say, well, where's all the stuff you were supposed to do? Then you don't want this word. But if you want to hear, well done, my faithful servant, you need this word. Because you're not just supposed to survive in this world. Section 8 in food stamps will make sure you survive in this world. Come on. If you want to overcome, then you need this word. You've got to understand, you see in your spirit, not in your head. And you let that revelation start to drive you. All right, Genesis chapter 13, would you turn there, please? Praise the Lord. God can do through a man of faith more in a week than he could do through a lifetime of just mere mortal effort. Praise the Lord, that's a good word. God can do more through a man of faith in 2 weeks than he could do through 70 years of natural labor and discipline. And you know, somebody who's got a lot of discipline, listen, somebody who's got a lot of discipline and they're willing to sweat and they're willing to push and they're willing to govern themselves by what they're after, they can accomplish quite a bit in this world. Imagine what a son of God could do. Because he's just not working with things that he sees. He's working with the unseen realm. Ministering angels are multiplying the work of his hands. Come on. Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 13, verse 14. God said in the King James to Abraham, he said, now look, as far as you can see, I'm going to give it to you. Now I don't know about you, but I can't see very far even when I'm on top of the principal building. I can see down to Red Rock Dam from the top of the principal building. But you know, the land of Israel exceeds that. That's only 45 miles. It's about the distance of what you can see. The land of Israel is wider than 45 miles. So God wasn't talking to him about natural eyes. In verse 14, the Lord said to Abraham after Lot had parted from him, look around from where you are to the north and the south and the east and the west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. Forever speaks of eternity. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go walk through the land, length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. When Abraham got up there and he started looking, he had to see through the eyes of his spirit, not through his natural eyes. And then what did God tell him to do? You just go in your prayer closet and pray. Oh, you know what? Find a televangelist and put a seed on it and name it. And then put it in the mail and by golly, you're going to get it. No, he told him to go and walk the land. In fact, he told the children of Israel, everywhere you put your feet, it will be yours. He didn't say everywhere that you confess, everywhere that you look, everybody you tell about it. He said, you go do it. You walk. You put your feet on the ground. There is a doing. Abraham had to have an action that lined up with what he saw inside of his spirit. What would have happened if Abraham never would have taken that walk to the north, to the south, and to the east and the west? See, he sojourned and he followed the Holy Ghost. That means he was led by the Spirit from place to place to place. And so was the nation of Israel. They were led by Jesus as a pillar of a cloud by day and a pillar of fire at night. And they followed him wherever they went. How do you do that? You see inside of your spirit. Now, I'm talking about your spirit, not your head. It's not out of your imagination. It's out of your inner man now. Come on. It's deep down in here. And it lines up with the Word of God. Why does it have to line up with the Word of God? So your head will put limitations on it. The boundaries and the borders of what God will do for you. I'm talking you right here today. What God will do for you is only limited by the boundaries and the borders that He put in His Word. And the Word of God says that He delights in the prosperity of His children. The Bible says that He wants you to have more than enough so that you can give on all occasions. I don't know about you, one of the biggest things that grieves me is when somebody calls the church and they're in need and I have to see whether or not we can help them. And that isn't going to last for very long. Amen. So God says, see and go. Now go to Joshua chapter 6. The children of Israel have come out of the desert. They've escaped sin, which is a type and a shadow of our new birth. They've escaped Egypt, which is a type and a shadow of the slavery we were to sin. They've entered and come out of the desert, and they crossed the Jordan, which is a type of new birth. Come on. Type of baptism. And they've walked into the promised land and they come up against the walled city of Jericho. And they can't get in. And the Lord says this in verse 6. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see. Everybody say see. I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. Hold on now. The fighting men are up on the wall of the city. They're taunting Israel. They've got spears. They've got bows and arrows. They've got cauldrons full of hot oil. The king is at the tallest peak. And God says, see, I have given these men to you. But here's Joshua and his rabble on the outside of a walled city, looking up to somebody that looks like they're more powerful and able to defeat them. So when God says, look and see, I have given you this army and this king, where is He telling Joshua to look? At the top of the walls? No, He's telling him to look inside of his inner man. And God breathes within him something that is eternal. And he can see the men defeated. And he could see the king defeated. And that's where faith comes from. Faith begins where the will of God is known. And God is not holding back wisdom from you. The Bible says if you ask for wisdom, He's going to give it to you without finding fault. You ask Him, He's going to show you. Now, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to say, oh boy, I wish that would happen. I hope that would happen. Or are you going to put action to what you have seen? God will always give you the step that you are to take next. Listen to this. God never asks you to step out into darkness. You should write that down. He'll never ask you to step out into darkness. He'll never ask you to walk in the dark. We walk in the light of God's Word, and revelation is light. He only asks you to step out into the light that you have. The reason you haven't gotten any more light is because you haven't stepped out into the light you already have. There is a proximity to the light of God because it comes from within you. Inside of your spirit is God's spirit, and that'll shine out from you. Even the distance of His Word, it's a light unto your path. It doesn't light up the whole highway. So you've got to follow it. You've got to act as if it's true. You have seen 10 miles down the road, but He's only showing you the next three steps. Why can't I see farther? Because you haven't taken the three steps. You have to see and you have to do. I know each one of you right now, by revelation of the Holy Ghost, knows about an area in your life that He has shown you, and you know the steps you have to do, but you haven't done it, and He's just shown you what they are again. But it doesn't make sense. Who said it had to? So what He told Joshua. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. And on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests and blow the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in. Guys, I'm going to give you a real example. If you're going to act like the Word of God is true, then you've got to do exactly what God told you to do. When it's this specific, don't stray from it. Listen, the church that was here before us, that gave up this land, that gave up this property, spent time after time after time marching around Planned Parenthood across the street and praying in the Holy Ghost that that would be delivered into their hands. But somebody came along that didn't have the revelation, didn't have the light of what they had been believing God for 20 years, and he gave up this particular property, God's property. And he also gave up on that promise. Because it was almost to the month that the church left, Planned Parenthood left. And here we came along 7 years later. And not only are we bringing restoration to this property, but we own that property across the street. To where that's our children's ministry and our outreach, and where we help people with food and we pray with people and we counsel with them. And where the youth is and the Nepalese meet and the Spanish meet almost every single night of the week. You will inherit the promises of God if you do not give up. How long do you hold on until it manifests? How long do you keep acting as if it's true until it belongs to you and you can touch it and you can see it and you can feel it and you can show it to other people? Sometimes you're the only one who believes, but it don't matter if you're the only one, because Jesus believes and the Father believes, and where two or three are gathered in His name, hey, it belongs to you. All you've got to do is keep acting as if it's true. Well, I feel like I'm acting like a hypocrite. No, you're a hypocrite when you act contrary to what God said. Yeah. I feel like I'm not being true to what I believe. Well, then you believe the wrong thing. Come on. Praise the Lord. Remember, I'm not mad at you. I'm trying to help you. Praise the Lord. Verse 6. So Joshua, the son of Nun, called to the prayer warriors and he said, we're going to fast and pray for 7 days and see what God does. So Joshua, the son of Nun, called the ushers and he said, let's take up an offering and count it as seed to see if God does what he said he would do. Is that what happened here?
No.
No. So Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said, take up the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the army, advance! March around the city with the armed guard going ahead of the ark of the Lord. And they followed God's instructions to the T. And you know, as they were, the Bible says, if you'll continue reading, that as they marched around that city those 7 days, that this conquering army above was tormenting them. Throwing their bowls up. We didn't always have running plumbing. We didn't always have, you know, sewers. And they would take their buckets and they would dump them off the city walls. And that's what they were doing on top of the heads of Israel. So hold on, you imagine walking around that city on the 4th day and you just shampooed your hair with the best suave shampoo you could get. There is no Tear Johnson's baby shower stuff that's going to get that smell out of your head. Can you imagine that on a fifth day, that coming down on you? How tempted you would be to not come out the sixth day? But they marched. And they went around that thing. And on the seventh day, when they marched around seven times, then the priests blew the trumpet. And just as God said, where there wasn't a crack in the wall, where they've been marching around, and I don't see any weakness in this wall. I don't understand how this is going to happen. When they shouted, the armies of the heaven began to shout. And it shook the foundation of the city. And the walls came straight down. And the men went in without a battle. And they took the entire city. See, you have to see within your human spirit. It's going to come out of the Spirit of God. It may be provoked by the Word of God. It may be provoked through prayer. It may be, the catalyst may be that God gives you a tongue or interpretation or a prophecy. I don't know how it's going to come to you. But as it comes, it's going to come from God's Spirit within you. And it's going to ignite and create light. That's what revelation is. You begin to see what was already there. Because Jesus didn't create it just because He said it right there and then. He only says what's eternal. What has already been prepared before the foundation of the world, good works for you to walk in, but you got to see it. Yeah. Then you've got to step out in the light that you have. What happens if I step out and the walls don't come down? Well, you just keep stepping until God tells you stop. Come on. What happens if I sow a seed and my need's not met? You just keep sowing until it is. Unless God says differently. Come on. See, the things in heaven are only held back in your life because your faith and my faith are incomplete. That doesn't mean they don't exist. It means that they're lacking something. Now, go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and we'll stop. Praise the Lord. If this is helping you this morning, say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you what, we're going to shake this city. We already are. We're going to transform this state. And it's already happening. We're going to reach all of Iowa and every nation. Praise the Lord. Through every media that's available. Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith, divine faith. Is confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. This is what the church will be commended for. The only thing that counts is your faith expressing itself in love. That's what it says in the book of Galatians. The only thing that's recognized by heaven is your faith that acts through love. And a faith that doesn't transform, a faith that doesn't move, a faith that doesn't shake, a faith that doesn't produce is an incomplete faith. A faith that didn't bring the walls of Jericho down would be an incomplete faith. A faith that didn't cause the fig tree to begin to wither at its roots would have been an incomplete faith. Come on. Yeah. A faith that didn't cause Abraham to take his child up on the mountain and act as if he was going to put him to death would not have brought about our salvation in Christ Jesus. You have to see and you have to do. Say, see and do.
See and do.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. If the message ministered to you this morning, give them a hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that it produces faith in us and light in us. And this message this morning was packed with the word. And Father, we thank you that it's producing light inside of us. Revelation to walk out. Revelation to walk on. Revelation to do the things that you've called each and every one of us to do. And Father, by the power of your Spirit and your Word, I speak this morning And things that have been held up are no longer held up because they see here in their spirit what they are to do. And I thank you for the boldness and the discipline and the character and integrity to walk as if it is already true. And we know it is. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, these things can be yours, but you have to become a child of the living God. If salvation doesn't belong to you, if you don't know whether or not heaven belongs to you, it can. Jesus came and He died for you. He took your place. He bore your sin so that He could treat you as if everything's all right. He could treat you as the righteousness of God. And if He doesn't live as the Lord in your life with nobody looking around and you want to put Him in that throne on your heart, just raise your hand right now and I'll pray with you. Is that you? Hallelujah. 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 Would everybody put your hand on your heart with me this morning and say, Father, I do believe Your Word.
Father, I do believe Your Word.
It produces revelation in my life.
I will walk in the light that I have.
I won't believe alone. And I won't do without believing. But I will believe and I will do.
Thank you, Lord,
that my faith is being made complete.
That this week I'll walk out my faith.
And I'll obtain the promise of the Scriptures. Salvation belongs to me. Jesus, You're my Lord.
And I thank You.
And I praise You. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope that you are blessed by the Word today. The friends and partners of KLM International make these messages available absolutely free. If you would like to partner with KLM International, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Your gifts and partnership ensure that this ministry continues all over the world to win the lost and equip the body, as well as to help establish a campus in the heart of Iowa to transform this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider joining with KLM International today. Once again, our website is www.klmintl.com.